Hey, I'm Lauren.
I'm Steph, and this is Design Beat.
Hello, and welcome to Design Beat Podcast. Lauren here. I don't remember what I usually say at the intro. Hey guys, Lauren here. Okay, yeah, got it. Hey guys, Lauren here, and you're listening to another episode of Design Beat, where we share the stories of creative women who dance to the beat of their own drum. We hope you come away uplifted, inspired, and encouraged to go for it. Today we're talking with Jess Levitz, the other half of Shop Theory. So you guys remember Dohi, she was our very first interview ever on the podcast. Dohi is the web design partner of Shop Theory, and Jess is more of the graphic design side. So I'm really excited to have her on today and hear her perspective. You may know her from the Creative Lady Collective, Facebook group, Instagram, website, formerly known as Freelance Wisdom. I'm in the Creative Lady Collective Facebook group, and you guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you're into design and you want that community and want to ask random questions to other creatives, you got to join. I go there a lot. I search questions I have a lot in that Facebook group. Very helpful resource. I've actually thought about starting a Facebook group for the podcast, and every time I just think people have the Creative Lady Collective, so I don't need to. In this interview, we talk about not being afraid to put your work out there, the perks of having a studio with a small team versus being a creative director managing a lot of people. She also takes us on a deep dive into her branding process, which you know I loved. So I do need to apologize for my audio in this episode. I don't always point it out when my audio is bad because I feel like people wouldn't notice it a lot of the time if I didn't, but this time it's pretty bad. I was at my parents' house and I wasn't as prepared as I thought I was, so I had to use my AirPods, which FYI are pretty much the worst thing you can record your audio on. So there you go. If you find yourself wondering why I sound like I'm speaking through a Wendy's drive-thru speaker and just sounds really great, that's why. So sorry guys, I'm not an audio engineer. I'm just a girl trying to share the stories of some pretty rad ladies. All right, here's Jess.
Jess, hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, it's so fun to talk to the other half of Shop Theory.
I know. Thank you.
I'm excited to hear from you. Okay, so we usually like to start out with some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Just kind of like break the ice, first thing that comes into your head. No pressure.
Okay. I'm like not the quickest thinker, so we'll, you know.
Okay. What's your favorite work snack?
Favorite work snack? Probably these like pita chip things from Trader Joe's or like pita crackers. They're so good, but they're completely addicting. And like once you start, it's like the box is gone.
Yeah, I love pita chips. They're so good because Trader Joe's has the best dips too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good one. Okay, favorite hobby?
Favorite hobby? Probably doing like art stuff, as lame as that sounds. But when I get a chance to like even just like color with my kids or like, you know, do little collages or painting or something that's not on the computer, that's probably like my favorite thing. The other favorite hobby is probably like going to thrift stores. I love like searching for treasures and things like that.
Oh, I love thrifting. It's so addicting.
Yeah.
Once you have a good find, you can't stop. We moved away from our good thrift store we'd go to like weekly. So I'm having withdrawals.
So yeah, New York is kind of annoying because they're like super picked over, like everyone. There's so many like thrift heads here, so like you go into a Goodwill or something, like everything good. But there's a place called Housing Works right near me that always has some pretty cool stuff, and they like support good causes and stuff too when you buy
from
them. Yeah,
it's so good to have like your place.
Yes.
Okay, do you have a favorite quote about art or design. Ooh. We can come back to this one.
That's a tough one. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Okay, right, that's okay.
I know, I should, because I like post quotes all the time on Creative Lady Collective, but
oh yeah,
my like memory bank of them is not so good. So maybe I'll think of one.
Yeah, if you let me know, we'll come back if you do think of one. Okay, do you have a favorite show?
Favorite show? So recently, I think my favorite show is a show called Pen 15. It's on Hulu. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't watched it, but I've seen.
Yeah, it's about these two girls are like best friends, and they're in seventh grade, and it's the year 2000, and they're like, so they're the exact same age as me. And so it's just like fun watching it, because it feels like going back in time to my middle school years, as like painful as they are, but like being able to laugh at them. And I don't know, it's just like very heartfelt, but also like extremely funny as well. So I can just kind of like watch that show over and over again.
Yes. Oh, those throwbacks are so fun. I love listening to like music I did as I was a kid. I love all these reels on Instagram right now with like the throwback fashion and music. I'm like,
yeah, they're like some girl like putting on like the blue eyeshadow and like glitter that we used to wear. It looks like, so ridiculous.
Like the white glittery like, lip gloss and eyeshadow. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. It makes you feel so old.
I know.
Okay, last one. Favorite creative tool?
Favorite creative tool? I think it has to be Illustrator. I mean, I use it every single day. It's my favorite of the Adobe programs. that sounds so nerdy. It just, I love how much I can do in there and like how freeing it is to design with. Like, and yeah, I think because I do a lot of like branding and illustration work and stuff like that, like Illustrator is just the tool that I like the most.
I love Illustrator. It's so hard for me to, I use like 95% of the time I use Illustrator.
Yeah.
So it's so hard for me when I need Photoshop or InDesign. I'm like, oh, it's so hard to get my brain like remember so how it works.
Yeah, I use Photoshop for like any mock-ups, like things like that when I'm like doing brand presentations, but I'm definitely not like as good at it, you know. And then I use InDesign to like create presentations, or if we have to do like documents and things like that. But definitely InDesign I might be like the least familiar with in terms of how to like use all of the different bells and whistles on it.
Me too. I haven't used it much like since school probably.
Yeah.
There's so many things where I'm like, I know InDesign would be better, but I don't want to take the time to relearn it.
Yeah. It is so true. Like the like longer out from school and stuff, you know, like you do have to keep up with things, but it's definitely more difficult, and you kind of want to like stay in your comfort zone. I think it's partly why I'm not a web designer, because with web design you like truly need to like really keep up with everything that's coming out. Like it's just changing so rapidly, and so I think to be a web designer you have to be someone that like kind of loves that, you know, like loves that, you know, things are constantly changing and you're learning new things. For me, I'd rather like keep up with trends and things like that, and like keep my program knowledge about the same level.
Yeah, that's so true, because in design, you can kind of use whatever you want to get the outcome. But in web design, you kind of have to be up on the latest.
Yeah, technology.
Technology, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about like your background. Do you want to just give us a quick, tell us about you, how you got started doing what you do?
Definitely. Where to start? Like back in like childhood times? Or
have you always been creative? When did you start your creative journey?
Absolutely. Yes, I have always been a creative kid. I think it was definitely the thing I was most like praised for as a child, you know, like I always loved art. Like I wanted to go to every art camp, you know, drawing, painting, just anything creative, any school project I could turn into a art project, you know, I would do it. And I was a good student and I liked other subjects as well, but definitely like art and creativity came to me the most naturally. And so I was really drawn to go in that direction. So I think it was like no surprise to anyone that that was what I ended up doing as a career. Mm-hmm. In terms of how I discovered graphic design, I would say probably like back in high school, like early Photoshop versions had like come out, you know, mm-hmm. and I was involved in student government and I had way more fun like making the posters and things for it than like doing any of the organizing or actual work of student government. So I think I kind of discovered like, okay, I'm like really enjoying, you know, creating designs or like creating PowerPoints for like school projects and stuff. I think a lot of designers say that was kind of like their first entry into design or like, you know, making their lives journals like look pretty and stuff like that. I wasn't as into the coding side of things. But yeah, I think just like having that entry into like making things look nice like for a presentation and, you know, making cool posters. I was also really into like kind of dressing kind of funny, like, you know, like experimenting with fashion and like, I feel like I was
tell kinda, you have really cool fashion. Just by what you're wearing.
Not as much anymore. And I was like way more experimental, like in high school and college. I think now I'm just like, gotta be comfy, like work from home, kids. But I was really into, you know, kind of like expressing myself in that way. I was kind of, I guess, like the typical, almost stereotypical, like artsy kid, you know, growing up. But there was a time actually where I kind of was discouraged about graphic design. I went to this camp. It was like this like fashion design university in San Francisco. I grew up in the Bay Area of California. Mm-hmm. And they had these like sessions where you could go around and like kind of experience all these different majors in art. Because I was interested in going, you know, into creativity in some way. And so this was a kind of a good way to like try out these different things. And then the graphic design class, like they had us in this like windowless like closet, basically, just like filled with computers. And the teacher just like had us do like the most boring, you know, like assignment, like we had to like make like stop signs or something. And I was like, this is what graphic design is. Like, this is not what I want to do. Like, I do not want to be in a windowless room with a computer, you know, just like making, you know, ugly stuff. But luckily, I did kind of like, I discovered there was more to graphic design than that. Though I did spend most of my college years in a room full of computers. but this time, luckily, loving it.
You had more fun projects.
Yeah. So I went to college and did graphic design as my major. I was lucky that I went to a school that had that because I actually went to college basically just following my boyfriend to his school. He's now my husband. We have two kids. So it worked out
good.
For us.
It worked out.
Yeah. but I was lucky that they also had a graphic design program there. So I think like pretty early on, I knew that this was the path I wanted to go. After graduating from college, I started working at a startup called Yelp. They're not a startup anymore, but they were at the time. Working as their kind of like in-house communications
like
designer.
Yelp. Oh, okay.
Yeah. and it was a really fun first job, like amazing first job because I got to just like design like posters and postcards and like just fun things because they have this whole community team there that are always putting on events. Probably not this year with COVID and everything, but that was like a huge way that they got business and got people to write reviews is like by treating the people that write reviews really well. So they would, you know, have all these parties and different things. And so my job was basically just creating posters and things for fun events, you know, just getting to do lots of. Yeah. But eventually I kind of like outgrew the job, you know, like it didn't quite match like where I wanted to go with my career. So I ended up moving on to a few different startups after that, kind of working my way up to be like a lead designer. This was in San Francisco. Startups are obviously a big thing there.
Yeah.
And my like last job before I went full-time freelance was working as a lead designer at a company called True & Co., which is actually where I met my business partner, Dopey.
Yeah,
so that's where our stories kind of merged together. I actually hired her as my intern at first, and then she quickly worked up into being like an equal with me. And then when I decided to leave that job, she actually took over it. So, and then pretty soon after, we started our business. So I guess I decided to leave the what seemed like a really great job on paper. Like I got to do a lot of, you know, amazing things there with packaging and, you know, it was a growing startup and things, but I was just really unhappy working with one brand at a time. And also just all the like internal politics and all that stuff. Like I discovered that like my favorite days were the days that I got to work from home. And I was like, I was just like, I realized that that's what I wanted to do. We also had hired some freelancers to help us with different projects and things. And I was like, I want to be in their shoes. Like, I don't want to be my job. I want to like be doing what they're doing. So I think seeing that helped to kind of like spark that, you know, desire to actually run my own business, even though it felt like extremely risky at the time. So since then, I've been going out on my own and then joining up with Dopey to create Shop Theory as a design studio.
So did you freelance on your own before joining forces with Dopey?
I did. So I had like been moonlighting as a freelancer, like, you know, over the years, kind of taking on, you know, the most random projects, you know, and things that just came on my plate. But I also, at about like 6 months before I left my job, I really did start to think about like, how can I build up more of a freelance base so that I can leave my job and feel like I'll have enough income to, you know, hopefully match my previous income, or at least, you know, be in a comfortable position that wasn't like so scary. So I started blogging like pretty much every day. Like I had a blog called June Letters, and that started to kind of gain a bit of a following. I started doing a lot of personal projects and personal work and posting that. And like Pinterest was just starting to blow up at the time. So posting that to Pinterest and now like circulating around and getting more attention onto my website. And eventually I was able to land a few like small business branding projects that really helped to kind of create those first portfolio projects for me that, you know, helped to kind of spitball from there for other projects.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you kind of had that online presence.
Cool.
So would you say you were getting more leads from like your blog and Pinterest than, say, referrals?
I can't even remember exactly. I mean, definitely a lot of clients did come through like my personal network, you know, like a friend from college that needed something, or, you know, like even like a friend of my parents or whatever. But then I think some of like the best projects that I got in those early years were from people that found me through, you know, my blog, or I used to work for this one site called The Bold Italics, which was like a popular, very designy site in San Francisco at the time. So just kind of like, like putting myself out there at the time, even though that always feels scary, did help to, you know, expand my network and lead to more people. And then, you know, now like I would say like 90% of our projects come from referrals, but it does take time to like build up that referral base. Yeah.
Right. So are you still doing the June Letters blog?
I have not blogged in many years now.
Okay. What was the blog about when you were blogging?
When I was blogging, gosh, what was it about? Well, it was definitely when blogging was more popular. I feel like people don't really read blogs as much anymore. Instagram has kind of taken over that. So it was a lot of like what you see on Instagram now, where like I would just blog about like stuff that I found inspiring. I would blog like just random design projects I was working on.
Was it sort of a portfolio place or more
kind
of like a
I feel like it's like a little more personal in terms of just like stuff that I was into at that moment, you know.
Right.
I did do some portfolio, like if I had a project, I would post like the style guide on there, stuff like that, which would then get pinned to Pinterest, and you know, that helps expand my business as well. But I did do a, like before there was the 100-day project, I did like an everyday project called 60 Days of Mood Board. I called it like the Moody Project. So every day I created a different mood board. And it was actually a really amazing project because it helped. Creating a mood board is like a really part of my, big part of my process as a brand designer. So it helped to like really hone that skill. It helped so that I was creating every day and, you know, just like looking at inspiration in different ways and like merging things together, like kind of helped to refine my eye, I feel like. And it also got attention. A lot of people, I mean, people still pin those mood boards. I still like will get, I had like a client, one of our big clients actually recently, the way she found me was through a mood board that I had created from that. So you never know, you know, what you put out into the world, you know, something else can come through that.
Pinterest is really amazing that way too.
Yeah, I need to keep up with it more now.
I do too. That's a goal of mine. The next few months, I got to be better at Pinterest.
Because... Yes, because people really do look on there for designers.
Yes. Yeah, they look there for inspiration, and it's so visual.
Yeah,
like,
it's the perfect medium for us. It's just once
it totally
your
is.
Business is, you know, running along and, you know, it's hard, but sometimes it does feel like there's less time to do that kind of marketing work. And like, especially in the beginning when you have all that enthusiasm and also like I didn't have kids or anything at the time. So my time was more free. So.
Yeah.
I always encourage people like early on in their careers, don't be afraid to like, you know, really go for it and like put yourself out there and do different things and, you know, get a little weird. And that's the way that you'll get noticed and it'll continue to reap the benefits like even years later. Because it gets a lot harder as you get older and more busy.
Right. You get busier.
Yeah.
You don't have the freedom and time that you used to. That's such good advice. So what challenges did you face when you were starting out?
Well, so many. I think a big challenge was that there just wasn't really that much information about how to freelance at the time.
Mm.
There was like maybe a few people blogging about it. Brianna Rose was one of those that actually like I learned a lot from because she was blogging about her branding process and things like that. At the time, there really... Like, there just wasn't that much information. I feel like now, like, everyone's kind of talking about how to freelance and all of that.
Right. There's so many courses.
Yeah. There were no online courses.
Instagram accounts.
Like, so I think in the beginning, a lot of it was, like, a lot of trial and error, you know, of, like, in the beginning, like, when I sent out branding presentations, I would send out, like, 10 logos, you know, like, all just, like, black and white, just, like, in a big, you know, PDF. Like, that's just, I didn't know any better. I didn't, learn things at an agency. I worked in-house at startups, so I didn't have like agency experience in terms of how to present things. So it really kind of just took a lot of like every time I would send out a presentation, you know, I would iterate on it and try and like get better. I still am doing that constantly. I think what else? I mean, I didn't really know how to like set up my finances or like to pay quarterly taxes or, you know, there were just so many things I had to get on Google and try and figure out. Still doing like business stuff is not like my forte. I'm definitely more on the like artsy spectrum of things.
Me too. It's pretty common, I think, for designers.
Yeah. But I've had to learn and I've had to, you know, keep trying and not be frustrated by like what you don't know and instead just like see as an opportunity to continue learning and getting better for the next time.
That's so good. So let's talk about your process now.
Sure.
So you talked about in the beginning, you'd send like 10 black and white logos. How has your process in working with clients refined over time?
Sure. Okay, I'm going to try not to be boring.
No, be boring, please.
So now my process is really about creating an experience for the clients that they are like super excited to open up the presentation and like see their vision, their brand come to life, you know? So I always start now with most of my clients working on like a visual brand strategy. And this helps us to get on the same page. So I create, you know, I look at their target audience, you know, what sets them apart, their keywords, their, a lot of times I look at their competition, you know, really help to kind of like set them up in a way that will make them stand apart from their competition. And then also I create like a mood board and work on keywords and things. And I even present a color palette from the very beginning, just because I think it really helps to get the clients on the same page and like excited about the direction versus just like coming in with a logo presentation that like they're like kind of shocked by, you know. So they're like gung-ho, they're like really excited about how things are going, they love the mood board, they love, you know, all this new information about their business. And so then I move into the logo design process, where I usually present between 1 and 3 logos. Like, it kind of depends on the client. Like, some clients are the types that you do only want to present one logo because they'll get like too much decision fatigue. And then there's other clients that they actually, maybe they have more of a design eye, like they're more collaborative type of person, and they want to see a little bit more and like, you know, see how they want to move things forward, and they're better at like making decisions. So I do kind of, you know, vary things depending on the client. You can get a pretty good sense of them, I think, from the beginning of working together, especially on the strategy process. And so when I present a logo design, I never just send over a black and white logo anymore. I, you know, mock it up in various ways. I explain about my like thoughts and reasonings behind the decisions I made for the logo, and really try to make the mockups feel like exciting and, you know, without going, you don't want to go so overboard with them that you're spending like all your time on mockups. But I do find like spending more time in that beginning portion makes like the rest of the process a lot easier. Because then you have, you've already done a lot of the exploration for the full brand design in those early days. Yeah. So I usually just try and like present it in a way that they can really imagine the logo like in their business. And then from there, you know, we refine the concepts, moving down to like one direction that they like and refining on that until we get to that hopefully perfect design. Usually I try and do it within 3 rounds. I would say like 90% of the time that happens. And then move into like style guide and all of that afterwards.
So you are the graphic design half of Shop Theory, right? You know, he does web design. Okay. Cool.
So occasionally Dohi will take on a brand design project, just like if she's, you know, maybe came through like a personal connection of hers or something like that, that she wants to be involved with it. I never do web design projects because I haven't, like I mentioned, have not kept up with the technology of that. But yeah, I do all the branding design, like illustration consultation. We often do like art direction for photo shoots together. Me and Dopey, she has a great eye for photo shoots. And also since she has to use those photos in the web design, a lot of times she'll actually be the one to create that because she kind of knows like what needs to be used on the web. But she'll use like a lot of the photo like inspiration that I did throughout the branding process. So I also do like any packaging designs, social media templates, you know, all those kind of things that exist more under like the branding umbrella.
Okay, cool. So what's your favorite part about all of this?
My favorite part. I actually kind of came to this realization recently. So one of the things that I have always been more embarrassed about with myself and struggled with is that I'm like a perpetual project starter. Like I love the beginnings of projects. I actually recently like launched a whole children's brand and I just like adored setting it all up. And now that it's like running, I'm like, no longer really that interested. That I'm just being like completely honest there. And I was getting like just kind of like beating myself up about it a little bit of being like, oh, you like always start the like finish the And then I was like, do you know what? Actually, like this is kind of like my special sauce. Like this is I'm really good at coming in at the beginning of a project with like a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of creativity, and being able to like set things up from the start, which a lot of people like are too kind of scared to even get to that point, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I can like really help clients to like get over that hurdle and start something new that is super scary and like come in with a lot of just like excitement and energy to get that started. And I've kind of realized that like I am in the perfect career for me because I am a project starter, and that's what I do as a career, is I help people start their projects. You know, sometimes it's a rebrand or something, but you know, I really help people to get up and running, I guess, and being able to do that for people and then not actually have to run the business afterwards is just amazing. So I think for me, my favorite thing is like the sketching and like first logo presentation, even though it's stressful, you know, to send that out. I just love that early creativity, that early enthusiasm that comes with the project. It's just where I shine, I think. And now I'm trying to just like embrace that part of myself and be like, that's okay. That's what I am.
I don't think you realize how much you are speaking to me directly right now, because I am totally the same way. I was talking to somebody about this week, how I feel like I'm almost like addicted to the feeling of starting projects. I love starting projects, and it's so hard for me to finish. Like, I don't feel bad quitting at all.
Yeah.
I mean, not with clients or anything, of course, but if it's just me and a fun project, I'm like, I'm done. Next.
Yeah.
So I love that you found a way to use it.
Spin it positively. I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying.
In a positive way. Because I've actually been thinking about that. Like, there's got to be a way I can use this as a positive. But that's so true. You're working with these new clients all the time. And there are a lot of people who, like my husband, for example, is not a risk taker. Mm-hmm. And he has a hard time starting things. And so there's room for us perpetual project starters.
To be brand designers. I have a feeling that this is a very common thing with brand designers, because we are like so creative and we love starting things and, you know, love that kind of thrill of the beginning. And so we are lucky that our job really is that we get to just start things with clients and then they can take on the business from there. I'd love to do like more consulting around people that are starting a new business and things like that, to kind of like keep that enthusiasm alive in terms of me being able to be that project starter. I didn't explain that well, but
no, I know what you mean though. Using your talent.
Yes.
The vision that you have at the beginning and helping.
Exactly. And like helping that with confidence. That. And then, not actually having to run the business myself. But it's funny because I don't get tired of running a design business. I think because it is so different every day, since we are like bringing in clients all the time. And like the actual like part of running a design business, you know, it's not easy, but it's, I don't know, like running like an e-commerce business, I feel like is a whole new set of skills. And maybe because I've like learned how to run a design business, it's not as scary or something to me.
Yeah.
Or like it's more comfortable. But I just, I keep seeing like new ways that we can grow our design business. And I'm so excited about our studio and how we can, you know, continue to work together and, you know, expand. Where like other projects that I start, I hit a point of just like, I don't really want to see this through anymore. So I do feel lucky that like at least with my design business, I continue to be enthusiastic about it.
And you have employees, right? So you can kind of pass.
We have three contractors that work with us, two designers and like a project manager administrative help. And they're amazing. They're so great. We feel really lucky to have them on our team. They feel like a team, even though they're not like full-time employees. We all, you know, feel like a team together and like help support each other.
That's so fun.
But we don't have like big dreams of like having some giant studio or anything like that. Both Doki and I are totally happy with like being a like more intimate small studio. We like having a lot of, you know, time spent with the actual clients, you know, and we like to design. Like, we actually like to be creative. We don't want to, at this point in our careers, we don't want to just be art directors at this point. I mean, that might change as we like get older and change and all that stuff. But right now we still like, you know, being involved, and we don't want to just be on the business end of things.
Cool. Yeah. Dohi mentioned that too. And I think it's really cool that you're both on the same page.
Yeah.
And have the same desire to have that small team.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I think we're both like more introverted too. And like, you know, it's a lot of work to also manage that many people and things. Like your whole like life would be spent managing people versus like doing the stuff that you, that brought you into the business in the first place. And some people probably discover like, oh, I love managing people. This is like actually more like what I want to do. But while we both like managing our designers, I don't think either of us can imagine doing that for like 13 people or something like that. It would just be too much for us.
All of your time.
Yeah, it would just be all of our time. So, and we want to do design as well.
We've talked about that on the podcast before, where it seems like the next natural steps are to just keep growing, move up to art direction or creative direction, and you're just managing people.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, because when you get started, it's because you want to design. And so it's just important to think what you want to be doing day to day.
Totally.
And if it is design, having a big team and being a creative director probably isn't the best path.
And I could see that changing, you know, for me, honestly. Like I could see me feeling like, you know what, I get more, maybe eventually I get more fulfillment out of, you know, mentoring a younger designer and working with them and helping to creative direct for them and stuff like that. I could see that happening, especially maybe as I, you know, don't keep up with, you know, the trends and technology as much or something like that, or just like what I find more fulfillment in for my time. But right now I'm not at that point.
Right. So where you're at right now in your business and your role in Shop Theory, what does an average day look like for you? And you also are running other things too. So I guess not just in Shop Theory, but brand, Creative Lady Collective. How do you manage all of that?
I don't. Like a lot of things, I let balls drop all the time, just being honest. So my day-to-day is mostly spent with Shop Theory clients. You know, that's the bulk of my income is through doing brand design. So that's like mostly what I spend my time on. So I am a mom as well of two. So my day, of course, starts with like crazy kids, getting them off to school with the babysitter, you know, that whole not a relaxing morning usually. No like cup of coffee and a newspaper situation for me. It's more like, okay, they're at the door. Okay, now I can go like sit down on at my computer. Luckily now I do have like full-time help in terms of like 9 to 4:30. I'm like able to actually work, which is a very welcome change after like 4 to 5 months of the kids like being home and me trying to work in like random spurts of time and at nights and stuff like that. So in the mornings, I tend to like to do more of my creative work. I think that's, I'm a little bit more of a morning person in terms of creativity. And I love that feeling of like getting a lot accomplished by lunchtime. Like it just makes me really happy to know that I like got like the major things off of my list for that day done. Of course, that doesn't always happen. Like every day is different. Sometimes I have to do podcast interviews. Sometimes I have to meet with clients or do other things earlier in the morning, or I have to really catch up on my email or to-dos. But if I had my perfect day, it would be like to start the day working on the most creative work I have planned. And then in the afternoons, I prefer to take calls or, you know, catch up on my to-dos and my emails and make sure I'm like on track for the next day. So I don't know, kind of boring, I guess, but I just work during the day.
I love it.
Try and get out at lunchtime, walk around a little bit if it's nice out.
Oh, it's hard to work when it's nice out.
I know, especially in New York when those days are kind of rare.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful, especially in the spring.
Yeah,
all the blossoms. It's So talk to us about Creative Lady Collective.
Oh, yeah, sure. So Creative Lady Collective is a community that I founded, like, actually it's been, like, so long now. I think I founded in, like, 2015 or something like that. It was originally called Freelance Wisdom, and it started actually on my blog, Jewelers. That was one of my first, like, columns that I did on a regular basis, where I interviewed creatives about their process, you know, their learnings, their struggles, their, you know, things that are inspired by. Like how now people are doing for podcasts. Mm-hmm. There were no, like, designer podcasts at the time. There weren't even really these interviews with other designers, which is why I started it in the first place. Because when I was first starting freelancing, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I want to learn from people. And so I started reaching, and I specifically wanted to learn from other women and how they were navigating. Because at the time, there were some guys, like, posting stuff about this, but there weren't that many women. And so I wanted to see, like, how they were navigating being a freelancer. And so I started interviewing them, and it gained a bit of a following of people excited to also read the interviews. I learned a lot, like, through doing those interviews. And so I decided, because people were, like, really interested, to create more of, like, an official community around it. And I started a Facebook group called Creative Lady Collective, which is how I ended up merging the two together. And I started a website that had, like, resources, the interviews, all these things about being a freelancer. I've since kind of, like, gone away from doing those interviews. It was really time consuming, as you know, as a podcast.
You have a few other things going
on. Yeah, there are a few other things. And I, like, just, like, had kids at the time and stuff too. So they're in the loop, and, you know, just a lot of stuff happens in life that kind of can change your path. So where was I? But I created this website and this community, the Instagram, and kind of, like, really tried to, like, grow this community that's really supportive and helping to make women feel secure in their choice to pursue a creative life. Kind of, like, you know, just make people feel like they have the resources and the knowledge in order to really pursue that creative life that they want. So I still have, you know, the archive of interviews, so you can go check those out. And I still post on the Instagram occasionally.
So cool.
Yes.
So I am in the Creative Lady Collective Facebook group.
Nice.
And I had read the Freelance Wisdom blog, and I did not put that together that those were both you. Same thing.
They are.
That's so cool. So, yeah, it's such a helpful, it's like the most helpful, I would say, Facebook group that I'm a part of.
That was awesome.
Because it's just a good group where you can kind of ask questions about things you're struggling with. And it's a very large community.
Yeah, it's grown a lot. So I've been afraid that it would become, like, too big and, like, not helpful anymore. But luckily, people still are, I mean, maybe it's not as, like, intimate it was in the early days of it, of course. But it still is a really nice community, and you can ask questions and you will almost always get a response. You can, you know, share what you're working on if you're struggling with something. I really try and keep it to be, like, a very supportive community. I honestly don't even have to, like, monitor it that much. It's just kind of lucky that
that's amazing with how big it is.
Yeah, I think, like, I, like, try and set it up from the start to be like, this is a supportive community, like, you know, this is a place to encourage people, not to just, like, I mean, there are people that will just blast their, like, random thing that they're trying to promote and then, like, hightail it out of there. And so people, I have some people that will, like, help flag things for me like that. But in general, like, there hasn't been a lot of, like, argument, you know, because sometimes Facebook groups can be kind of, like, volatile and stuff.
Right. Something about Facebook, I don't know. It's just worse than people.
But maybe because it's, like, on a collective, or because it's all women, or what?
It's really positive.
Yeah, I try and keep it to be, like, a really positive community. I wish I could spend more time on it, but I'm glad that it's kind of had a bit of a life of its own. In a positive way.
Yeah, you've done a great job. I think people, they have to know the rules to join. And so they know if they're breaking the rules. And
yeah.
So I think you've done a really good job managing it that way.
Thank you.
It's a really awesome resource for creatives. Go check it out, you guys. Creative Lady Collective on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, we have Instagram, we have a website
as
well. Yes,
an Instagram website. Go check it out. Okay, one last question. I don't want to take too much of your time. What projects are you excited about right now?
Ooh, let's see. I have a branding project I'm working on right now. Actually, after we end this, I'm going to be working on the logo design. And it's for like a brick and mortar retail shop. And it's by these two sisters, and they're just like really fun, and like they love like colors and rainbows, and like just it's like really
fun.
Like just a really fun eclectic brand, and I love that style. I love like getting into that, and I get to, you know, design like a store sign, and I even get to design like a tile, you know, like at the front door, like a little tile design. So I'm like super excited about that. I've never gotten to do that before. I love working with shops where, like, you know, you can really feel the brand, like, through a full physical space. So I'm excited about that one. So, yeah, I hope it turns out nice.
That's so fun. It's so fun, the variety of different design projects you get to do.
Yeah, because the other project I'm working on is very, like, sophisticated, you know, like, very, like, bohemian, like, more towards, like, mature women, you know, like it's just funny.
Yeah.
Like, I best part of what I love brand design too is I get to like dip my toe in all these different design styles. Like, I would never want to be just stuck in one style, just because it's what makes it fun, just getting to explore different things.
Oh, I love that. That's so true. So fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say? Any advice? Anything you want to plug?
This is your time. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. It's kind of a crude statement, but if you don't ask, you don't get. So I try and follow this because as an introverted person myself, like, it can be tough for me to do that. But without putting yourself out and open for opportunity, like, opportunity will not come. Unless you're extremely lucky or something. But, you know, you have to put yourself out there and try new things and get a little weird in order to keep growing in your career.
Thank you so much, Jess. This was so
Thank
fun.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. I've been wanting to have you on
podcast
ever since we interviewed Dohi. Like, we got to get the other half.
Yeah.
Don't you just feel so inspired to go start something after listening to that? Thank you so much, Jess, for all your encouraging words. We have had fewer reviews on the podcast lately, but we have had more people tagging us on Instagram, which you know we love. So from now on, I'm going to start sending stickers to people who share about the podcast on Instagram as well. Taking screenshots while you're listening and saying what you like about it. Writing about us in the caption of the posts. Share the podcast in any way on Instagram. So I'll pick share your handle after the episode. And if you're listening, DM me and I'll send you some stickers. I'll still read reviews as well, but we're getting more and more Spotify listeners and less Apple reviews. And so I'm going to do both Instagram and Apple Podcast reviews. Okay, bye. Thank you for listening. If today's episode resonated with you, let us know by tagging us on Instagram. Maybe share a screenshot of the episode. And of course, write us a review, rate, and subscribe. We hope you feel uplifted, inspired, and encouraged to go for it. To stay up to date on all things Design Beat, you can visit us at designbeatpodcast.com and join our mailing list there. You can also follow us on Instagram at Design Beat Podcast. See you there.